you, Jesus.
Last week we talked about an orphan heart, and we're going to talk about that again today, and as long as the Father has me on this subject. So I'm just going to talk about, just kind of recap. If you didn't watch last week, or if you weren't here last week, please go watch it on YouTube. It's important. It's important that you catch what the Father is endeavoring to do in our lives, because He wants us to step into who we are as sons and daughters, and not just have a knowing that we are sons and daughters of the Father, but that it become our reality and it be who we are. There's a difference between reading it in the Word and saying, okay, I'm a son and daughter, and then living it out. And I think that there's lots of us that haven't quite, myself included, haven't quite stepped into the fullness of that reality, that we are sons and daughters. For different reasons in our lives, different things that have happened to us in our lives, we have, you know, hurts, rejection, have caused us to have an orphan heart, and we feel like we don't measure up to the love of the Father, or we don't measure up to our inheritance that the Father has for us. So this is, I'm just going to recap quickly, I'm not going to go into as much detail as I did last week about what an orphan heart is. But an orphan heart is brought about by trauma, rejection, betrayal, persecution, abandonment, abuse, criticism. An orphan heart is a spiritual, emotional, and sometimes physical condition in which believers know about the love of the Father in their heads, but feel internal contradictions to that belief in their hearts. The orphan heart deals with rejection and approval. Orphan hearts can have some of these tendencies: no sense of home or belonging, a lack of identity, a lack of discipline. They feel alone. They have to perform, fight, compete for everything. They look after number one. They have roots in rejection, abandonment, shame, fear, bitterness, loneliness, a lack of confidence, crippling need for approval, inability to empathize and even accept others, an inability to receive or extend unconditional love. They have a need to compete and stand out. They do not feel accepted, and they feel the need to prove their worth. They seek to hide their own limitations, perceiving the strengths of others as competition, secretly taking satisfaction in the weakness of others, needing and seeking attention, very hard on themselves. Some of them will have isolation or independence. Deep down, an orphan does not feel as though he or she belongs in the family. So this may result in withdrawal, physically or emotionally, from others, an attitude of independence, fear, and insecurity. They'll deal with fear. In the middle of a group of people, they will feel insignificant. They'll automatically assume people won't like them. They're unsure of their safety. They feel unheard. They have an instinct to protect themselves. They struggle to trust and rest in the love of God. And they are territorial. They're performance-oriented. They can be. They feel rejection. They deal with rejection. Therefore, they believe that he or she must compensate by working hard or performing well in order to be recognized. They need constant reassurance. They have a lack of confidence. They need to prove themselves. They're protective. They're territorial in their ministry areas, in their family, in their position in their families, in their positions in work. a constant drive to perform well, judging the weaknesses and performances of others, having feelings of mistrust towards others, feeling that they're going to be punished at any time, and they want position. So that's an orphan heart. And we read verses last week about what the Father says, that He adopted us as sons and daughters. And when He adopted us, He made us His own. It was a legal adoption that happened. And in that legal adoption, the Bible says, if you've been adopted, then you are heirs. Then you are true sons and daughters, and you are heirs of the kingdom. But yet so many of us live separate of it because of trauma, of things that have happened in our lives that caused us, maybe in parts of our hearts, caused us to have an orphan heart, where we feel like we don't measure up, or that we are alone, or we're not loved, not like other people are loved. And we have this need to measure up. So one of the verses we read last week was 1 John 3:1, and it says, "What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God." That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who He is or what He's up to. The Bible says we are called children of God. That's who we really are. Forget about anything else. Who you really are is a child of God. Ephesians 1:5 to 6 says, "For it was always in His perfect plan to adopt us as His delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that His tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify His grace. For the same love He has for the beloved one, Jesus, He has for us, and this unfolding plan brings Him great pleasure. You being sons and daughters of the Father brings Him great pleasure. This is His delight. This is His joy. This brings Him incredible pleasure." In 1 John 14:18, it says, "I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you." This was Jesus. Jesus says, "I promise that I will never abandon you. I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you." He was saying, "My plan, the Father's plan, is that I go and die so that you could come into the family of God. This was the plan." He says, "I'm not going to leave you orphans. You will not be abandoned. Because the Father, from the beginning of time, has had this plan that you would come into the family of God. And so I won't leave you orphans. I will not abandon you." In Psalms, it says, in Psalms 27:10, it says, "Although my father and my mother have abandoned me, yet the Lord will take him up, take me up, adopt me as His child." So this was one of the things last week we talked about, Mephibosheth, and being dropped. And today the Father had revealed abandonment to me. Abandonment, betrayal, and rejection. So we're going to go to Genesis 21. And in Genesis 21, I'll give a little backstory. It's about Abraham and Sarah. For those that don't know the story, I'll just catch you up to speed real quick. Abraham and Sarah were old. And God promised them, and Sarah was barren, she couldn't have babies, and God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child. And they laughed, Sarah did, she laughed, because there was no possible way she could have a child. It would have to be a miracle. And so they waited for this baby to come. It didn't come. So Sarah came up with a plan for Abraham. And it was this, Abraham, how about you go and procreate with my slave girl, Hagar? And surely that must be how the promise of God will come. That must be what God meant. How often we do that ourselves. We get a promise from God and it didn't come when we felt like it should have come, so we go out and do it ourselves. This is what Sarah was doing. She says, I think that maybe the promise of God should come through a different way. Maybe he didn't mean me. Maybe he meant somebody else. So you go procreate with Hagar and then you will have a son. So Abraham did just that. He went and procreated with Hagar, and she had a son. And his name was Ishmael. Ishmael was not the son of promise. But nonetheless, Abraham loved Ishmael. He loved him. It was his son. It was his firstborn son. And Ishmael and Abraham were together for many years. I think it was like between 14 and 16 years old, Abraham and Ishmael were together before Sarah, Abraham's wife, gave birth to the promised son, Isaac. And this is where we start in Genesis 21. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, and as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time. At the appointed time. There is always an appointed time for your promise. At the appointed time which God had spoken to him, Abraham called the son of his son, the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. 100 years old. Can you imagine? No, thank you. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son of old age. Sarah was so proud. Who would have said that this could have happened? Who would have said that a woman of my age would have a son for Abraham? But look at me now. God's promise came through. So then it says, the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. So Isaac was probably 3 years old when he was weaned. And so they threw a party for him. Verse 9. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. So this would be Ishmael. Sarah catches a glimpse of Ishmael, who's about 16 years old, mocking Isaac, the three-year-old. Now any moms in here know, mock my kid and I'm gonna get angry, right? And so Sarah catches a glimpse of this kid mocking him. But on the other hand, you can see Ishmael, he was the only son. He had grew up with his dad. He had been with his dad. He'd gone places with his dad. Now suddenly Isaac is born and he's the son of promise. So Ishmael's probably jealous. So Sarah sees this happen, and she says, verse 10, therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. Drive them out. Get rid of both of them. You know, it was Sarah's idea in the beginning for Abraham to have a child with Hagar, but now she's mad and she says, get rid of them. Verse 11, it says, this matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son, because he loved Ishmael. And Sarah is asking him to get rid of his son. It says it distressed him. Verse 12 says, but God said to Abraham, Do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. For through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And of the son of the maid, he's talking about Ishmael, I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. He says, I will make a nation out of Ishmael. Don't worry. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. Imagine this. They're having a party. Everyone's good. Party's happening. The next morning, Abraham shows up with some bread and some water. He goes up to Hagar, puts hands it to her, passes her the son, and sends her on her way. Not see you later. He sends her on the way. None of this was, this was completely out of Hagar and Ishmael's control. And an orphan heart often is born out of powerlessness. That something happened to you because of other people's decisions, and you were powerless in the middle of it. And you felt abandoned. You felt rejected. You felt betrayed. And here Hagar and her son are sent away. And the Bible says they're wandering around in the wilderness. Abraham was wealthy. They were given water and bread and were sent away. They were abandoned. Ishmael was abandoned. So then verse 15, it says, when the water and the skin was used up, she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite of him, about a bow shot away, about 100 yards away. For she said, do not let me see the boy die. And she sat opposite of him and lifted up her voice and began to weep. None of this should have happened. I was a slave girl doing what I was supposed to be doing. I did what they asked, and now we're in the wilderness. I don't even have any bread or any water. I don't know where to go. All I've ever done was follow Abraham and Sarah, and now I've been sent away with my son, and we have no more food, and I've been left here to die. They were abandoned. And she begins to cry. Can you imagine? And here's what God showed me when he told me to deal with abandonment in our hearts. And there may be more than this, but these are some specific things that he showed me, that there are children of divorce. You may be an adult now, but you are a child of divorce. And it was a decision that two people made that had nothing to do with you. But in the middle of it, you felt powerless. And you felt abandoned. Abandoned by the family system, abandoned. Maybe your mother or your father walked away. and it had nothing to do with you, but you felt abandoned. I gotta take care of myself now. Or maybe it was a spouse that walked out on you and you felt abandoned, and what rose up in you was the orphan heart to protect yourself from ever having this happen to you again. And so from once that rose up in you, it changed who you were. It changed how you related to people because you were surviving. But you felt abandoned. And then there's some who have gone and placed their trust in somebody. You placed your trust in somebody and you went to them and they turned you away. And at that moment, you felt rejected, you felt betrayed, you felt abandoned. And so the orphan heart rose up in you to protect you. So we have Hagar sitting here, not facing her son, pouring her heart out. She is crying because there is nothing left. She can't even look at him, at her son, because she knows this is the end. And then look at this. The next verse says this. She's crying, but the next verse in verse 17 says, God heard the lad crying. She's crying, but God heard the lad crying. So here we have Ishmael, sent away by his father with no fault of his own. And he's sent away, and it says God heard him. So Ishmael is sitting there sobbing. And it says God heard the lad crying. See, this is important, God heard. Because in the middle of your hurt, in the middle of your tears, in the middle of the abandonment, in the middle of the betrayal, in the middle of the abuse where you cried out, the Father heard you. He heard you. So God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. And he said to her, this is the craziest verse. And he said to her, what's the matter with you? Can you imagine? What's the matter, Hagar? What's wrong? Why are you crying? And I read that and I thought, God, why would you, why? Why would that even be a question asked? What is this? He says, because I know the end from the beginning. Because I take every situation and I turn it around for good. Because I know the plans that I have for you, which are good. So he's saying, there's no need for crying anymore, Hagar. He says, do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad, where he is. And then he says this is important. Arise, lift up your lad and hold him by the hand. Arise. Get up, Hagar. Get up. No more staying in that abandonment. No more staying in that betrayal. No more staying in that rejection. That the Father would say to you, okay, there were things that happened to you by no fault of your own, and you felt powerless, but he says, all right, do not fear. It's time for you to get up. It's time for you to arise. No more staying in that anymore. No more staying with that broken heart. I heard you. I heard your cries. I know what you go through. I know your inner thoughts. He says, it's time to arise. Get up, Hagar. Then he says this, I will make a great nation of him. Here's what the Father always comes to do. He comes to restore your identity. He comes to restore your dignity. And he comes to restore your ability to dream again. So some of you, I don't know who I am. I don't know where I belong. The Father's come to restore your identity. Some of you, the shame of it. Some of you, what happened to you. Some of you were touched so inappropriately. Maybe it was by physical abuse or sexual abuse, but it stripped your dignity away from you. And the Father comes back to restore your dignity. It's what he's doing for Ishmael. He shows up. I heard, Ishmael, it wasn't right. I know. It was something that made you absolutely, you were powerless in this. I know, Ishmael, but I'm here. I heard you. I've come to restore your identity. I've come to restore your dignity. And some of you, it's like, I've dreamed before. I've had big dreams many times. But I just got so tired of being abandoned in the middle of it. I got so tired of the rejection. I got so tired of the rejection. I just got so tired. The Father says, I've come to restore your ability to dream again. So he created you. He created you a dreamer. So he begins to speak identity to Ishmael. He says, for I will make a great nation of him. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So what does he say? He comes, he says, why are you crying, Hagar? Then he says, don't be afraid. Then he says, get up. And then he speaks identity. But then what do you see here? Right after that, after he speaks identity, he says, I will make a great nation. He opens her eyes and there was a well of water. It doesn't say that the well of water wasn't there and he created it. He said he opened her eyes to see it. That some of us are stuck in this abandonment and we're stuck in this betrayal, stuck in this rejection, that there are good things that are happening around you. There is life flowing around you, but because you are stuck in it, you cannot see. And the Father wants you to open your eye. He wants to open your eyes this morning. Out of your abandonment, out of your rejection, out of the betrayal of the things that happened to you. And open your eyes this morning. So she opens, her eyes are opened. It says, then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the lad. And he grew, and he lived in the wilderness and became an archer. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Some of you are thinking, maybe, I know what came out of Ishmael. No, this isn't what we're talking about today. What we're talking about is that God showed up for Ishmael. God was with Ishmael, is what the word says. God was with him. God heard his cry. Galatians 4, I'm going to read quite a bit. But it's important. It says, from slavery to sonship. In a similar way, God has promised our ancestors something better. But as long as an heir is a minor, he's not really much different than a servant, although he's the master over all of them. For until the time appointed by the father, when he comes of age, the child is under the domestic supervision of the guardians of the estate. So it is with us. When we were juveniles, we were enslaved under the hostile spirits of the world. But when the era came to an end and the time of fulfillment had come, God sent his son. Born of a woman, born under the written law, yet all of this was so that we would redeem and set free all those held hostage to the written law, so that we would receive our freedom and our full legal adoption as children. And so that we would know for sure that we are his true children. God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, "My Father, you are my true Father." Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has. Think about it. We can access everything our Father has. For we are heirs of God through Jesus, the Messiah. Before we knew God as our Father and we became his children, we were unwitting servants to the powers that be, which are nothing compared to God. I love that part. Which are nothing compared to God, by the way. But now that we truly know him and understand how deeply we're loved by him, why would we, even for a moment, consider turning back to those weak and feeble principles of religion as though we were still subject to them? Why would we want to go backwards into bondage of religion? Scrupulously observing rituals like special days, celebrations of the new moon, annual festivals, and sacred years, I'm so alarmed about you that I'm beginning to wonder if my labor and ministry among you was a waste of time. Skipping down to verse 21, it says, "Do you want to go back to living strictly by the law? Haven't you ever listened to what the law really says? Have you forgotten that Abraham had two sons? One by the slave girl and the other by the free woman. Ishmael, the son of the slave girl, was a child of the natural realm. But Isaac, the son of the free woman, was born supernaturally by the Spirit, a child of the promise of God. These are two women, and their sons express an allegory and become symbols of two covenants. The first covenant was born on Mount Sinai, birthing children into slavery. Children born to Hagar, for Hagar represents the law given at Mount Sinai in Arabia. The Hagar metaphor corresponds to the earthly Jerusalem of today, who are currently in bondage. In contrast, there is a heavenly Jerusalem above us, which is our true mother. She is the free woman, birthing children into freedom, for it is written, "Burst forth with gladness, O barren woman with no children. Break through with the shouts of joy and jubilee, for you are about to give birth. The one who was once considered desolate and barren now has more children than the one who has a husband. Dear friends, just like Isaac, we're now the true children who inherit the kingdom's promise. And just as the son of the natural realm at the time harassed the son born of the power of the Holy Spirit, so it is today. And what does the scripture tell you to do? Expel the slave mother and her son. The son of the slave woman will not be a true heir, for the true heir of the promise is the son of the free woman. It's now so obvious the children of the slave woman were the supernatural sons of the free woman, sons of grace." So how are we connecting these two? I ask God the same thing. You've been adopted. He says, "You've been adopted." And yes, There has been abandonment, there has been betrayal, there has been rejection, there has been things that have happened to you that should not have happened, but they did. There has been parents that have not done good by you, maybe by accident, maybe on purpose. He says, but I sent my son so that I could be your father. I sent my son so that you would not be abandoned. I sent my son so that you could come into the full inheritance. And so at the top of this, it says, why would you go back? Why do you keep going back to that religion? Why do you keep going back to being a slave? Why do you keep going back to those parts in your heart of abandonment, of rejection? Why are you being a slave to it when I have come and set you free from it, made you a son and daughter? Come in to your inheritance. Come into your place. You know, the Bible says that God so loved. The Father so loved the world. He so loved you that He gave His Son. That it was with so much desire, so much love, so much passion, so much compassion Father, let your love go deep. Let your love go deep. Father, let your love break through to the hardest of hearts. Let us know your love. You know, the verse in Matthew 6, 25 to 32, I didn't give you guys this verse. It's Jesus revealing the Father. I just feel like, some are having a lot of trouble attaching this, themselves to this, because one, they don't know if they can trust. Because the pain,
that I felt was so deep and so real. I don't know if I can trust anybody else, but I definitely don't know if I can trust God.
But God the Father is wanting to reveal himself to you. He's wanting to reveal himself, who he is. And his love is who he is. His love is who he is. His love is beyond anything that you can imagine. He is not taking you to places that will break you. He's not taking you to places that are going to rip you apart, that are going to leave you. He is not taking you to places. He's taking you to places where he wants to heal you, where the love of God, when the love of God begins to flow, there is healing in the love of God. All kinds of healing in the love of God. Why? Because it's who he is. And when love flows from the Father, all good things come from that. You don't need to be scared. You don't need to worry about opening up your heart, because what comes from the Father, what flows through love, is life, is healing, is hope. It comes out of love. It's born out of love. Why? Because God is love. So Jesus in Matthew is revealing just a part of who the Father is. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why would you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after those things, but your heavenly Father knows you have need of them." Here's Jesus revealing just a glimpse of who the Father is. He says, you don't even need to worry. That God is such an incredible Father. He was talking to them, telling them this, trying to heal them from the orphan heart. You're worried about all of these things, trying to do all of these things on your own when you have no reason to do this, because the Father takes care of you. Because the Father knows what you have need of. Because the Father loves you. Because a father is doing what fathers do. They supply. They take care of you. They love you. They give you identity. They give you hope. They give you the ability to dream again. The Father is doing what the Father does. You don't have to. You don't have to look out for number one anymore. Let the Father look out for you. So, Father, this morning, I thank you that you are revealing what the heart of a father looks like. But Father, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are opening up rooms in our heart. You are opening up memories. You are showing us memories of times in our lives when we felt
abandoned, when we felt betrayed, when we felt rejected, you know, there was times when there was a time, and I'm sorry I talk about, you know, my mother's death last week, and but when she was sick, she was believing, we were believing with her for a healing. And, you know, we were really believing, and I would quote scriptures to her, and I would have a list, and I would pray over her. I'd say, "Mom, say these verses with me, Mom." And she would. And then there came a time where I sat down beside her, and I would wash her, and I'd say, "Mom, let's say these verses together. Mom, let's thank God for healing. You're gonna get healed." And she said, "No. No." And I was like, "Come on, Mom. Come on, Mom. We're gonna believe God for healing. Come on, Mom." "No. I don't want to anymore. I don't want to fight anymore." And it took, when she died, I felt abandoned by her. Because I felt like she should have fought harder. And she gave up on me. That's not the truth. That's not what happened, but it's how I felt. I felt abandoned. There was someone in particular in my life who I trusted deeply. And they called me terrible names. I heard them talk about me. And they said horrible things. I don't think they meant it, but I remember listening to it, and it was like a piece of my heart broke. And that trust that I had left. And I felt abandoned. They shouldn't have said those things about me. And I don't think that they meant them. But it caused a part of my heart to rise up and say, "You can't be trusted. People that should be close to me, people that should be taking care of me, can't be trusted." And I began to strive to make that person happy. So I didn't have to hear those words again. Now I know that many of you have probably felt much worse, but those are areas where I felt abandoned. It shouldn't have been. I had nothing to do with it. I felt powerless, and I felt abandoned, and I felt rejected. And you begin to live out of that. It becomes who you are when it's not who God created you to be. He didn't want to have to worry. He didn't want you to live afraid. He didn't want you to live with pieces of your heart separate from other people so that you don't get hurt again. He didn't want you to live with your heart turned from Him because of what others have done to you. And He says, today, don't go back to that place of abandonment.
don't go back to that place of rejection. Let the love of God go deep into your heart and heal those places, and know that in those moments of absolute heartbreak, the Father heard you. The Father was there. And He didn't want it to happen. But He was there. And He heard the heartbreak. He saw the pain. And I'm 100% sure that He wanted us to talk about this today, because He doesn't want you to live there anymore. He doesn't want you to live in the wilderness. He doesn't want you to die like this. He wants you to see again. He wants you to be free. So, Father, I thank You that Your love is going deep, deep, deep into the hearts, into the parts, into the places we don't even understand why it happened. We don't think it's fair. We feel slighted. And I want you to hear the Father say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But then I hear Him say, let me meet you there. Let me meet you there. Let me heal that place. Yes. And then I hear Him say, rise up, stand up. I'm going to take you out of that place. I'm going to take you out of that brokenness. I'm going to take you out of that moment of abandonment, that moment of rejection, those moments of abandonment that happened repeatedly to your life. He says, stand up. I'm going to take you out of that. Because you weren't meant to live there. You weren't meant to stay there. Your life was not meant to be shaped there. Stand up, He says. Father, I thank You that You're healing hearts all over this place. That, Father, You're revealing who You are to us, and we're coming into the fullness of the revelation of who You are, of what our Father looks like, what our reality is. Is that You are our Father and we are Your children. And You love us with an everlasting and unconditional love. And nothing separates us from this love. Father, I thank You that You're healing hearts. Before we close,
just have a moment with God, but what I want you to do is say, in the middle of it, talk to God, talk to him by yourself, but say, if you want to, say this, God, I don't want to live here no more. I don't want to live in the pain of this rejection. I don't want to live in the pain of abandonment, of betrayal. I don't want to be this person. I don't want to live here no more. So God, I'm standing up, and I don't know what happens after I stand up, but I know that you're going to lead me. So I just want you to know, Father, I'm standing up. And then you do the rest. For your glory, God. It's all for your glory. Thank you, Father. God, I love you. I love you so much. God, I love you so much. God, I love you so much. I love you so much. Father, I thank you that Father, I thank you that you are taking us into places of deep healing. places that have blocked us from things in our lives for years and years. And Father, you're wanting to deal with it and take care of it once and for all. And so, Father, you are going deep into our heart. And in the days and weeks to come, Father, you are just going to be going into our heart and healing every part. So that we wouldn't be old wineskins, Father, but that we'd be new wineskins. And that new wine could come from us. Father, I thank you that you are making things whole. Healing hearts, Father. You're ministering peace, ministering love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise God.